Don't you think Daniela did a great job? Remember we've spoken in the past about dynamic meetings, meaning that we see how we're going, we see what we think the Lord is doing, and we go according to what we think he's doing in the moment. So we were going to do a full set there, but I'm going to just pause, and then I'm going to share, and then I feel like we can go back into worship, which would be a good response to the word. Is that okay? Okay. So some new developments at Mercy. Sorry, Taryn can't be here today. Logan's a bit sick, so he's up most of the night. But some new developments is that Taryn is, one of her portfolios is going to be my PA. So just pray for her. Look at Debbie's look. She's shaking her head, the poor lady. And so we're working on a two-year restructuring. Oh, you two working together. Would it work? Wait for Mercy, you're all aware of this. The goal is to create good structures to meet the needs of the changes of our new venue and a growing church. And just to kind of update you, have a quick chat about where we're at. So Taryn is going to be helping me with my organization because I'm such an organized person and I'm always on time for meetings. So please get in touch with her if it's anything related to myself, work-related, if you want to chat to me or something that I have forgotten, which would be lots. Jason and Daniela are serving on our team as interns with the possibility of some other young people coming on. That's not because we're just focusing on youth. Remember, one of our visions for the next few years is that we're trying to build a church that is suitable not only for our generation, but also for the generation to come. And so we're wanting to sow in seeds into our young people. We want to see our young people up here. We want to see them more involved. And we believe that that is where we're being called to go as a student. A big development as a student. We've been called to go as a church. A big development is that Vicky Tkum has come on as a part-time staff. She's going to be serving and volunteering for years at Mercy. She has been extremely helpful, especially to me, to collate, communicate, and act on the vision. A lot of the changes that you're seeing and the restructuring has come from Vicky. If you don't know her, just wave, Vicky. Maybe just stand so there's some people here who might not know you. This is Vicky. Her husband, Andrew, is here. There's Andrew. Andrew's her PA. Those of you who don't know, Vicky has an honors degree in industrial psychology and was founder and director of True North for 16 years, cum laude, which is a two-year course, and has fulfilled the requirements to something very exciting. So we are, in the coming months, going to be ordaining Vicky as an executive pastor in Mercy Vineyard Church. So let's just stop for a moment and have a look at some of the pathway for training for pastoral leaders. So maybe some of you are out there today and you're thinking you have a calling on your life. You feel God is calling you to be a pastor. A pastor doesn't have to be a preaching pastor. Vicky's main role is not going to be preaching. That'll be my role. She's going to come on as executive pastor. You might not be too sure what that means, but the calling on your life, and you want to know what are the next steps, here are some of the steps that we've put down as a national leadership before someone is ordained. Some life experience and tertiary level training to be better equipped for the challenges of pastoral ministry. Secondly, the School of Leadership, which Vicky has completed, and then it is recommended that a full bachelor's degree should follow this. Theological mentorship is offered. And then we have something called the Pastor's Pack, which is a vineyard orientation of the way. Practical participation in pastoral refreshing, training intensives, and mentoring. And then, so these are the qualifications for someone to be recommended to become a pastor in the Vineyard Movement. Recommendations by local pastors and at least two members of the national leadership team. So in March, we go up to Red River, which is the gathering of the Vineyard pastors, and Vicky will be presented and prayed over there. And then after that, she'll come back here, and we will lay hands on her, and we will ordain her as a pastor. But first, it will happen at Red River. You can go to the next slide. The most important part, being a pastor is not just about getting a degree and fulfilling certain roles. The most important part about pastoring is how you fit into church, the fruitful participation in local churches, the grounding needed for integrity where the three spheres of development are shaped. Your character, which is how I relate. Am I kind? Am I generous? Can I relate well to people? It's important. My content in terms of what I believe, and the charisma, i.e. in how I serve. So Vicky will be moving into that role, and her and Laura will be working closely together. How do you guys feel? Excited?
Yeah.
What about another like clap or jump or? So Vicky doesn't know this, but what we've done is we've prepared a whole bunch of really difficult theological questions that I'm going to ask her to come up now. I'm kidding. All right, so that's where we are in a few weeks' time, a month's time, we'll get there. So today, my title is God is Speaking, and it's a bit of a summary from Hebrews chapter 1. And how we hear his voice and how we discern. And when we come together, the Holy Spirit is here and we have words of prophecy and we have words of encouragement. And we really just want to give space for God to be moving in our midst. So God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. God wants to speak to the world. He has always wanted to speak to us. He's been speaking to us since the onset of creation, starting with Adam and until today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that should be on the next slide. Times and in various ways. So in the past, God spoke his words, revealing partly who he was. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He clothed them and showed them grace. He spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 and he said, I want you to come on an adventure with me. I want you to go and I'm going to make you into a great nation. He spoke to Noah and he said, Noah, you better bring your umbrella. Actually, I think you should build an ark because my judgment is coming, but I also have this redeeming plan. And God speaks to Noah and Noah responds. He speaks to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, where this bush is burning. You can just keep going down the slide, Les, where the bush is burning, and he can hear this voice. He speaks to Isaiah and to Daniel and Ezekiel. You remember the visions that we hear of the Old Testament prophets, these amazing, the cherubim and the Costa, where did Ezekiel get that vision Not the Valley of Dry Bones, that river. You get what I'm saying though, huh? Yes. He speaks to Jacob in a dream through an angel. He speaks to Joseph in dreams. He speaks to Elijah in a still small voice. But do you know that he speaks to Job in a storm? It says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He speaks to his prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Elijah, Elisha. There's actually a whole school of prophets where they begin to hear, to learn, how do I discern the voice of God? And so Hebrews is saying, guys, in the past, God has spoken to us in many different ways. And there's a whole, he even speaks through a donkey. That's so encouraging for me, like God can even use me. Hey? He speaks through animals. He speaks judgment where he writes to the king on the wall. And there's this communication where God is speaking. But in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, we see glimpses of God. We see glimpses of what he is like, but we don't see the full revelation yet. It was like when I was dating my wife, Taryn. You might have met her. We met on a Russian website. No, we met, she was in England, and we met not online. I'm getting myself into trouble here. Not online, through friends, but we had to meet and communicate online. And so when we first met, it was a text, and then after a while, when we got really courageous, there was maybe the screen, but she was a bit shy, so I couldn't see her face. I could just see the screen. And this is how long we've been married, guys. This was in the days of Skype. Remember Skype? And so I got to know this woman in England a little bit. I eventually was able to see her face even on Skype, and we wrote letters. I mean, one of the greatest miracles of a marriage was the first call I made to her ever was from my cell phone on my normal data to England, and we spoke for an hour. And I didn't realize that I hadn't done it on another call. And so when I stopped, and I mean, I couldn't tell her this because, you know, I didn't want her to know how poor I was. I was like, I've just spoken to England for 57 minutes. This is going to be the most expensive call of my life. You know, I didn't even get charged for it. Isn't God good? And so this is what I'm trying to say. There's this process where we got to know each other, but not being in the same room. And then that day when I waited at the Durban airport, and she said, I'm wearing a white top and blue pants. I think it was blue jeans. Do you know how many women wore white top and blue jeans? And you know, like some of the women where you think, oh no, is that Taryn? Oh, she looked a lot better on the photos. It's like... And then she came, and it was like, this is her, and I met her in the flesh, and she was all over me like a rash. It was amazing. No, there was this, she's not here, so I've just got free lib today. All the kind of glimpses, all the kind of getting to know her, but not really knowing her, suddenly, all that changed because she was in the room, and I had a full revelation of who she was. So when Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to us in various ways, through various times, through the prophets, that was like my relationship with Taryn when she was in the UK. There's a sense of a revelation of who this person is, but I don't really know who she is until she's in the room, you see? And so the dispensation, not a good word, I won't say dispensation, the time that we live in now is we have moved from where God spoke in various ways, through various means. He still does those things. We talked about Cornelius a couple of weeks ago and Peter, where there were trances, there were visions, there was prayer, there were miracles, there was the falling of the Holy Spirit. So it's not like God doesn't speak and act through these other ways to us, but primarily something has shifted. God spoke in various ways to various people on special occasions, partly revealing himself. But Hebrews says that something has radically changed. There is a final and a superior revelation that you're about to see. And he says, but in these last days, we're in the last days, by the way, speak to the Bible scholars, who he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Come on, amen, man. That's a cool, hey? The Son is in the house. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation. He provided purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so, what Hebrews is saying here, and I know we all know this, but I'm not sure we all fully live in the revelation of the scripture. He spoke his words to the prophets, but he revealed himself completely through his Son. That's why Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the final word on God. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of who he is.
Hebrews 10 says the law is a shadow of things that are coming, but they are not the full realities of themselves. In the past, this is how we saw pictures of God. Thank you so much, Debbie. How God partly revealed himself, but wow, he's arrived at the airport. You can hold on to him. He's here. Everything has changed. The whole world has changed. There is a superior revelation of who God is. You want to know what God is like? You don't have to work so hard anymore. You know why? Because God knew it was difficult for us, sorry about the spit, difficult for us to understand fully who he was. And so he sent his son himself to us to reveal himself once and for all. We've heard this so many times, so I think sometimes we've lost the power of it. But this is what he's saying in this scripture. Hebrews 1 reveals the following about Jesus. That's it. Jesus is God's radiant glory, the radiance of God's glory. That Greek is letters, the darkness. It's like, hey, we saw a picture, but now we see this brilliant glory of God coming through Jesus. Secondly, Jesus is God's stamp. It's the Greek word charakteris. You know the word character? Jesus is God's stamp. That's what the word exact representation of his being means. Jesus, thirdly, is God's power. He sustains all things by his word. And so we have a revelation of not a watchmaker who creates a watch and sends it off for someone for it to work independently. We have a revelation of Jesus not only as the glory, the stamp, which is the character of God, but also the power of God that isn't aside and away from his creation. He has entered his creation and he is sustaining his creation, and he's not the watchmaker outside. He's the sustainer of everything that we live and move and have our being, even all of creation. But my point is not all that. My point is this. Jesus is God's wide open door to us. It says there, purification from sins. Those are the three words, three phrases. He's cleansed you, guys. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a moment. It says he sat down. What does that mean? He's finished his work. It says he's at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That means he's got the highest place of honor next to the Father in heaven. So here it is. The big news is I don't have to wait for a special dream. I don't have to wait for a prophetic word. Is that happy birthday? They're so unspiritual, these guys. They should be more like us. I'm just kidding. If you're visiting us, I'm just joking. Happy birthday! I don't have to 20 days. I don't even have to pray a lot. I know that this is going to be jarring for some of us. I don't have to go to a prophet. I don't have to ask God for visions, because Jesus is God's wide open door to us always. God is always online. He is accessible to all. He is speaking at all times in new ways through his Son. God wants to speak to you. I got a message this weekend. It was such a sad message from someone. And I won't share details. I won't break confidence. But it was simply relating to, this person has really messed up. And guilt and shame. They feel judged and so far from God, like they can't approach God. Preparing this message this weekend,
You want to hear the scripture that I sent them? We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opened up for us through his curtain, that is the body. Since we have this great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Guys, this is really good news. All she needed to do, what she did, was confess, was own it. I think for me, there's two reasons why as Christians we often say we can't hear the voice of God. Number one, I think, is on the slide as well, there's the next point. Number one, I think, is time. I think we are more and more living in a kingdom of this world that is rush, that is hurry, that is stress, that is anxiety, that is all about performance, and that we're getting less and less time to build real relationships with people, even our family members. That the way that I hear God's voice is I have to slow down for loving union, and some of us haven't slowed down for 5 years. We don't really understand what it means to have loving union with someone anymore because I've got to go to work. Yes, we do. I've got to get on. I've got to keep going. And so I think our relationship, Vicky talks about the relationship with time, our relationship of the ability to wait, to sit, to engage with not only one another, but with the Father in heaven. And the second one, which I think is a lot more prevalent, that especially us as mature believers might not even realize, but I think is true about us. You got it there. Shame. I simply don't feel good enough to speak to God. I live in the shame of the million ways that I fail every day of every week, and I feel like he's going to talk to me. Please, would everyone wake up? If you've heard nothing, here we go. The scooter needs to be moved, the black scooter. You're kind of messing a bit with my message, Darren. Who's got a scooter? Oh, it's our bishop, Derek. The walk of shame. Shame. Here we go. God's door is always open to you at all times. There is absolutely no excuse for you to sit in shame and guilt in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has shattered the guilt, sent it through the heavens to the right. He's taken it away. It says that he has ascended through the heavens to the right hand of the Father. And he sits saying, "It is finished." And he is just like you and me and says, "Come, I've opened a new and a living way." But what keeps us from that new and living way is the shame and the guilt and the thinking that we can never actually make it into God's presence because we're going to be judged. No. Once and for all, by one sacrifice is made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. So enter. This is what happens when you're on flu meds. Enter. Stop making excuses. I can't hear God's voice. You can. The way is open. You can sit with a journal. You can open the Bible. You can pray. You can hear his voice. You can.
But the lie that has been taught to so many of us that we carry in our hearts is the guilty conscience that condemns us that, well, you know, Mark, and I often hear this, you know, I haven't had a quiet time for a few weeks. I don't think like God's that pleased with me. Oh, for pity's sake. Like, do you think that your 7 quiet times in a row on a really good week is the reason that you can stand before a holy God who created the entire world and is perfect in every way and can do all things? Oh, yeah, 7 in a row. Yes, come into my presence. Do you think lying or stealing will keep you from the presence of God? Yes, we're called to confess, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. But once we confess, it's done. Do you think having an affair keeps you from the grace and the presence of God? I know you don't often hear things like this said, but let's think about it. I know this would relate to none of you. Do you think understating your income so that you don't pay enough tax will keep you from the grace of God? Do you think losing your temper and totally for us to relate to people when we hurt them through our sinful behavior, but when it shifts in my mind that there is nothing that I can do that can keep me out of this wide open door, I'm free? Yes? Okay. And so therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a... Don't tell me. But let me tell you something. They are very much in the forefront of your mind, and they very much are used by the evil one and your own mental patterns to keep you from entering into the presence of God. We have weaknesses, but... we have one who has been tempted in every way. Does it say some ways? Was Jesus tempted in some ways? Every way. Just as we are, yet he didn't sin. This is the conclusion. And then we're going to worship. Verse 16. Let us then, therefore, in light of all that I've said in Hebrews, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How do I approach God? You can put them all out there, Les. There should be one more. You can go back? Yeah. In light of that scripture, boldly and with confidence, when you go home today, when you get in your car, I don't want you to be thinking about the way that you messed up this week. I want you to say out loud, oh, it's so nice to have a free, open way to you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's also the knowledge of what I am approaching. You're not approaching the principal's office. You're approaching a throne of grace. Anyone ever been to the principal's office? I never went. Wayne, you were probably there every day. You know, I went to boarding school and I didn't like the principal because when you get told on Monday morning the principal wants to see you, for those of you in my generation, what did it mean? Once I was banned for an entire term. Can you just try being in boarding school and being banned so that you have to stay at school for a full 3 months? Not cool. And I never did anything wrong. And the like every time I was going to the principal's office, I was like, oh, if you were clever, you'd put on some more jocks. You'd try and be the second or third one, not the first one, because that'd be the hardest lashes. And then, but at Margate Primary School, I loved my principal, Mr. Atkins, and he loved me. Do you know why? Because he loved my mother. They had such a good relationship, not love in that way. He liked my mother. They had such a good relationship. When my mom would be walking around the school and say, hello, Sally. And he would call everyone else by their surname, but I was Mark. He called me Mark. And so when I got invited to the principal's office, even when I knew, like once I knew I'd done something wrong, it was fine. Why? Because my mother set the tone for my meeting with the principal.
Every time you might have messed up, every time, whatever it is you've gone through, hey, the principal's office is not a scary place for us anymore. The old covenant is gone. The new has come. Jesus invites you in. Knowledge of what I'm receiving, and I can go in my time of need. So I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I want us to just respond to these words. Maybe as I've been speaking today, you've never understood or received this forgiveness in Jesus Christ. You've never understood fully to pray with those who might have felt like they have long since, years, backslidden, or you've never actually truly understood the grace and the message of salvation as it's been explained to this morning. The good news, guys, God's door is open to us. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the wonderful news about your son, Jesus. Jesus, you're amazing. You make it so easy. You've made a new and a living way. How exciting. And so now, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you rest upon us?